and welcome to SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the lysergic Luke Cutfer.
Hello!
This week, we're talking about dropping dogs and medical microdosing. But first, I got a question for you, Luke.
Okay.
And I don't know if I'm allowed to ask this question until like 5 minutes into the YouTube video. But have you ever dropped, you know, have you ever been in a lab, for example, right? Carrying your base, right? Okay. And you're going to mix it, say, with your acid, but then you trip. Your acid spills all over the floor. So you could say you've dropped it.
Okay. Well, you've hinted enough without saying the words that scare the advertisers. Mm-hmm. So we did this in that place that is in Europe where that is legal, which I also won't say just in case the advertisers don't like it.
I mean, that would absolutely kill the Dutch YouTube scene. I was just looking into the camera there for some reason. That would absolutely kill the Dutch YouTube scene, wouldn't it? Here I am in
Amsterdam. Here I am in Amsterdam. What a lovely rhyme, Corey.
Yeah,
you're such a poet.
Oh, well, I never said, and I didn't. I wasn't aware of that.
Wow, the biggest. I don't know how you fumbled that whilst deliberately fumbling it.
Look, when you've got as much practice at quickly messing everything in your life up all the time as I do, fumbling things just becomes an
second nature.
Another thing you can do.
Very good. You have me there. I thought you actually fumbled that. Very good.
That's acting.
Wow.
If any directors are out there looking for a complete mess of a human being, I'm available.
But so are all
ready
the other actors.
To co-star with Jennifer Lawrence, you know? Because then we could be relatable and quirky together.
Thank you for cutting me off with my rude thing that I said.
Oh, no, I didn't even hear you.
You said, if any directors are looking for a complete mess of a human being, I'm available. And I said, but so are all the other actors. I'm married to an actor, to be clear.
So that just makes it worse. Hey guys, just so you know, I'm also saying this about my wife is like the
most put together actor I've ever met in my life.
Not a high bar, but she really does clear it.
She's the Fosbury Flop of actors.
She's far ahead. You know, yeah. This is tortoise and the hare situation. Didn't get to the end of that story. How does it go? The hare totally like creams the tortoise, right?
Tortoise has a heart attack halfway around. And the moral of the story is rush everything because you might die if you don't hurry up.
Yeah, and sometimes go for a little nap.
Yeah,
you know?
I could really do with that advice that I just gave myself, by the way.
So, Luke, do you know what this topic is today? Do you know what we're doing?
Okay, so you told me some very basic information, and I am incredibly curious because I don't know how to make sense of it. You said that we're going to talk about dogs on acid for anxiety. Now, is that dogs, like emotional support dogs, and you're on acid, but the dog's there? Is that the dog's on acid, but you've got the anxiety, and watching the dog be anxious on acid makes you less anxious? Is that the dog is anxious, and you give the dog acid to cure its anxiety? Because that's crazy.
Well, first off, Luke, it was not basic information I gave you. It was acidic. Little science joke.
Oh, I'm going to pretend I understood that.
Acid, base, you know.
I stopped chemistry as soon as I possibly could.
Right.
I'm okay. A physics boy.
Okay, well, never mind. All of the chemists are going to be laughing real you have a tendency to overcomplicate, I think.
Okay.
Quite a lot.
Thank you.
It is... They put a dog on acid because the dog had anxiety.
Yeah, that's the third one I said. I kind of overcomplicated it twice, and then I got to the probable simple one. So they gave a dog acid to cure it. That seems unethical to the extreme.
It.
I've seen these videos from years ago of like cats on acid, and they are freaking the hell out, and they have no idea what's going on. And it genuinely made me so sad for these cats who are probably dead now. But like,
I mean, lots of cats are probably dead now. You know, that could describe many cats.
Had to ruin my day, didn't you, Corey?
What Sorry, the hell? Luke, cats die.
It's only early in the morning. I didn't have to have my day ruined already.
It is quite literally about as late in the morning as it can possibly be.
But it's still the morning. And now now my day is ruined. And there's so many dead cats. What the hell? Billions and billions of dead cats. That's so sad. I hope they lived good lives.
Okay, so the dog, right? The dog that they gave acid to. This dog was 13. So she was very much of age. She was called Lola, and she had intense separation anxiety.
That's what you just said is disgusting.
dog years. She's like dog old. Years.
Okay, cool.
I'm not gonna fuck the dog. So
she's 91. Look at dog. They gave acid to a 91-year-old dog.
I'm not gonna fuck an old dog. Ew. Ew. Yeah.
But you'll give it acid. You'll give it acid. That's fine.
Yeah. Or maybe roofie the dog. Okay.
What?
But I'm not
gonna
fuck the dog.
That's well. Good to know. I get to know where you draw the boundaries.
I have very clear lines of morality, my guy. And a 91-year-old dog?
Yeah.
That's beyond the pale.
It's gone off.
So Lola.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, you disgust me. Rest her soul. Lola, she has separation anxiety, and they didn't give her LSD. So,
they just gave her pure acid. Just burn through the dog. No more anxiety. Dog's dead.
So they did give her like LSD, but not like LSD. Ah. And I thought this episode would be good because I like dogs and you like acid. And so we can work together on this one.
What the hell? Why are you putting that on the internet, mate? What the hell?
You insisted that we do acid on the podcast that one time,
Luke,
remember?
It was magic mushrooms and we were in Amsterdam and it was for a podcast episode.
Oh, yeah.
We filmed it.
I'm sorry. That was another time where he browbeat me. He was whipping and he was being very cruel and saying we need to do acid on the podcast.
We've never done acid on the podcast. Let's be clear. We did mushrooms on the podcast. And we didn't even admit it. We just did the episode. And you were like, let's just not say and see if people notice. And so there's a whole episode of Side Guys up there. Two, actually, when we were high, when we had mushrooms.
We were up there.
And we literally, I was there like, we need to make this clear. Otherwise, we're going to look insane. And Corey was like, nah, it's funnier if we just don't mention it. So I can't even, you might not even know which one it is. You just have to watch through all of them. And eventually you'll find one. You'll be like, this one's
which
a little bit off.
Which episode could it be? Which one? It's so hard to tell. Ooh. No, so Lola, the 13-year-old mixed breed dog, she had anxiety. It wasn't LSD that they gave her. It was 1CP LSD.
Oh, of course.
Do you know what that is?
No, I have no idea. But I know that there's a bunch of things that are like close to drugs that like, is this one of these things that like these knockoff drug makers make so that it's technically legal? But then it's not actually the exact same one. So like, do you know what I mean? It's like a loophole. It's not LSD. It's LSD 1P. It's got one little P on it. So it's not LSD.
More or less, right? So this 1CP analog is a semi-synthetic psychedelic substance belonging to the class of lysergamides. Basically, it's not like a precursor. It's a prodrug, it says.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
That is a precursor. It is a precursor. It's me learning as I remember my notes.
A prodrug goes into your body, and then, this is not for Corey. Corey knows this. It goes into your body, and basically, your body then does something to it, usually in the liver, I think, that then makes the drug that you're actually intending to have in your body. So like, it's like if you took in, when you eat food, for example, every bit of food is sort of a prodrug in the sense that like you put it in your stomach and then your body turns it into glucose. You actually want glucose, but you put in bread, right? So imagine that, but it's with a drug. You put in the drug, but the drug's not really the drug. You really want the drug to be a different thing. And your body goes, okay, and makes that thing.
It chemically makes it into the drug.
Yeah.
And in this instance, that is essentially what happens. And it's free. I was going to say it's free. It's not free. It's legal. It's not illegal where they were doing this, which I think was maybe Spain or something.
So, but that makes it into LSD then?
Yeah. So when you ingest the drug, yeah, it becomes LSD.
What a loophole. That's like codeine. Like, it's not technically heroin. Your body makes it into heroin.
Yeah, man. When you start looking at, like, science and chemistry, laws make... They don't make less sense, but they become... You're like, oh, man, this is so arbitrary. This is so arbitrary.
I feel like if your body's making the heroin, that should be more illegal.
Imagine Breaking Bad, but it's just something...
Just a guy ingesting stuff and then pooping it out.
To be clear... That is not how that works. This dog isn't like the dog that pooped LSD, you know? It's the dog that took LSD. Anyway, so they gave LSD to this dog, is that more or less, right? We're just going to say they gave the dog LSD from now on because that's functionally what they did. Now, this was interestingly like the first time to the knowledge of the people who wrote this paper, and therefore to my knowledge also, the first time that a dog had... Or not even a dog. I'll just read this verbatim. To our knowledge, it was the first time that this molecule was administered with therapeutic intent in this animal species. So it was a dog. It was the first time that this was given to a dog therapeutically, they think.
There's quite a lot of caveats here, yeah. Like,
no,
it's the first time.
There are no caveats. There are no caveats. The only caveat is they think, and therefore I think. They think, therefore I.
Okay, but hang on. So they think that this is the first time that this specific, not LSD, but close to LSD molecule was given to a dog in a therapeutic setting. They think. Like, that's quite a lot of, like it's not, they're not really going out and saying anything particularly strongly or particularly groundbreaking.
They're scientists. Why would they say anything strongly?
Okay.
They're allergic to that. But no, this is kind of really similar to the tennis competition that I won, if you recall.
What? Oh, the one where nobody else played, so you won.
Yeah. No, I came second. I played one match and I lost.
Wait, but you played one match against nobody?
No. I played one match against somebody else and I lost that match. But because nobody else did their matches, I came second.
You came both second and last.
Well, no, because everybody else was still in the tournament. They just didn't play their matches. I came second.
No, I think you came last and second.
You're wrong. You weren't there. You don't know anything about tennis.
I Not think like you me. Have to
How many
play.
Tennis competitions have you come second in?
Well, okay, fine. Okay, Corey, you're better at tennis than me. That's fine. We'll have a side guys tennis contest. Two people. You'll see if you come second again, you will.
Yeah. But hey, look, man, second is right after first.
But we need to get a bunch of people to not play so that you're not last again.
You have to bump myself up higher. And
every guest we've ever had is also technically in it, but they didn't turn up. So
look, we sent them the emails. They didn't respond. You know? But this is the thing as well, is that I had never played tennis before, and I'm also really, really bad at tennis.
Ah, I love tennis. I'm quite good at tennis. I've got worse since I had a baby because I don't play anymore. So you might beat me now.
Oh, cool. Great. Well, that'd be the second match of tennis that I've ever played.
Really? Oh, my God. Our tennis is so fun.
That's what I'm saying. I'd never played tennis before, and I've never played tennis since.
Oh, that's so sad. You need to come play tennis with me.
No, I want to win. And I've got a pretty hot streak right now. I don't want to put that in jeopardy. So they gave LSD to a dog. It's a pretty straightforward study. It's actually a really quick read, and it's really good. And I know I suggest this a lot, that people should go and read the studies, but I think that people should go and read this study because it's easy. And if you don't want to read the study, you can just watch the YouTube video they made of the dog.
No, that's so messed up.
What do you mean? So
okay, hang on a sec. Because like I said, the only videos I've ever seen of animals taking acid were like these cats were like freaking the hell out, and they're in like a cage, and they're like freaking out because they're probably seeing stuff or feeling things, whatever. I don't know. But this dog, was it just like a chill? Oh man, the universe is amazing. Brian Cox kind of dog.
Do you think I would have done this episode and been so lighthearted if it was a straight up case of animal abuse on YouTube?
Yeah, I should read the tone better, shouldn't I? Hey, everyone. So this is a horrible thing that happened. Woo!
In my one experience of seeing this happen with cats, they were caged and they had a bad time.
Yeah.
Therefore.
Well, I just assumed that cats were no different.
I'm
guessing
this
was nicer. Did they like play it nice music? How did they get the dog to enjoy it?
They did actually play some music at one point. So, I mean, you can watch the video. It's 7.5. It's 7:50. And to be honest, it could be a lot shorter. It could be a lot shorter video.
It's not a long trip though. It's very short.
It's not real time, my guy.
Okay. Okay.
So, they also microed.
Looks like I'm coming up, and then it's wearing off. Oh, that's a shame. Bye bye.
But yeah, dogs just they metabolize it so fast. they gave a bit more than a microdose, right?
Okay.
The idea behind this, before we get into the sort of meat and bones and sinew and other such things of the study, basically the point of this was to test to see whether or not giving dogs acid would make them chill.
Make them chill? Make them into great guys.
Yeah, you know, because like, I mean, other things you could try, giving the dog a little bit of a doobie, you know, a Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Would that work? Do dogs have cannabinoid receptors?
I don't know.
I guess that's the question.
Dude, I don't know.
Okay. I thought you just knew everything. I thought you just got like everything's there. You just got like this trench coat full of information and you're like, woo, dogs have cannabinoid receptors. Here you go.
I think dogs can probably get high.
Snoop Dogg can. Sorry, Snoop Lion now. So lions can get high now.
No way is it still Snoop Lion. That was a gimmick, right? You know, no. You can't do that. You also, like, I'm sick of people doing that, you know? Like
what, changing
Diddy,
their names,
Puff Daddy, all of those different.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The worst thing that guy's ever done.
Change his name to Puff Daddy.
I think it was probably one of the worst.
Tier things. List number one.
Well, he's not done anything else bad. Like that's. I mean, he's been a pretty upstanding gentleman. Otherwise, right? he's been pretty sad.
I don't think that's true.
I've not been paying attention to the news, my guy. You know? But I can only assume that the right honourable. Puff Daddy.
Is he a lawyer now or a
Sean
politician?
Sean P. Diddy Combs was...
He wouldn't let us down, surely. Not Puff Daddy.
No. I stake all, honestly, all of my hope and humanity on that man. So if anything has gone wrong with him, yeah. I'll tell you, Luke, I'm going off the deep end.
That's it for you.
Drown myself in baby oil, which is what we always said we'd do, he and I.
Oh, God. What a coincidence. Just you wait till you hear what's happened.
I really, how funny. No. I was going to draw comparisons between Epstein and what happened to him.
Yeah.
What he did to himself, of course.
Yeah, yes.
And Sean Puff Daddy Combs, or whatever his name is, I don't know. I've just said Sean Combs. It could not be his name. I don't remember. Him drowning himself in prison with baby oil. I just think that'd be poetic.
Yes, like you put him in a thing and you just like, it just like comes in like he's in one of those like movies, like he's in a sort of like an Egyptian tomb and the walls start closing in, but it's just baby oil and it's just filling up. And they're like, you like it now, Puff Daddy? All the way to the top.
Back to the dog on acid, Luke. Okay, back to this dog.
Please.
So yeah, dogs get anxiety. I think maybe about, I've got a stat here, about 20%, 14 to 20% of dogs have anxiety.
We have a dog. Sense. My parents have a dog with anxiety. And it's so weird because he's like the biggest, muscliest Labrador. He's so like, he could mess you up if he wanted to. But he's just scared of everything. Like,
hey, buddy, anybody can have anxiety.
I know, but it's just like, you know, you can mess me up, mate. Everything that you're scared of, you could just beat it up. You could bite it. You could like, he's scared of the Hoover. I mean, lots of dogs are scared of Hoovers. He's scared of the baby, my baby. He's like, get away.
Your baby is a very terrifying
baby. Violent woman. Yes.
I don't trust that. You know how I feel about that girl. All right. We are not on speaking terms.
There's an evil glint in her eye. That's for sure.
Look, I just don't like the look of her. All right. Oh. I'm not a fan.
She's so cute. What are you talking about?
She's got plots in there, man. She keep plotting. Okay. I'm not. I don't know. I don't f- with that. This dog has anxiety, separation anxiety. About 14 to 20% of dogs have some kind of anxiety, apparently. Before we get into like the actual study, do you want to quickly, for anybody who doesn't know, run them through what LSD is quickly?
Well, I'll run through what it is and why I think they're doing this. So it is...
Hold on. Okay. No. I gave you a request.
Okay.
You will do what you bloody asked. You won't add more...
I want to expand the scope of my job. Please, sir, can I have a raise? Please, sir. I want to take on more work. I'm a good employee.
Hey, man, can you tell people what LSD is? So I'll tell them what it is, and I'll do you one more.
I've been talking to ChatGPT too much. Like, so here's this, and then would you like me to do this as well? No, I didn't actually ask you to do that. Please go away.
Well, carry on. So, say whatever you want. You have 5 minutes where you could say whatever it is that you want.
Good God. Oh, God. We're going to go off the deep end. Okay. So LSD, lysergic acid diethylamine. Is that it? Something like that. It's a drug. People take it to go, woo, crazy. It's like one of the reasons there was like the hippie era in the 70s. And the reason I think that they're probably giving it to this dog, and there have been some studies into this with adult humans as well, is that it increases sort of connectivity across the brain. So you can sort of potentially, I think the idea is like rewire parts of your brain because it opens up potential pathways that you might have closed off due to trauma or due to learned behavior or whatever. It sort of literally opens your mind. Woo! In a sort of hippie way. But then the problem with that is that you can open your mind into being nuts, or you can, like, for want of a better word, or you can open your mind into being happier, but you don't really get to pick unless you are very good at, you know, being with a therapist, that kind of thing. Unless you're very good at like therapy, etc., you might like open your mind into something that you didn't want. So that's also bad. But I think they're going to do this in a good way and give this dog, open his mind to not being anxious. And then, huzzah, dog is cured. There you go. That's less than 5 minutes.
3 minutes and 30
that
seconds.
That wasn't 3 minutes. Shut up.
No, it wasn't. You've got 3 minutes and 30 seconds to go.
Oh, this is like you have to keep talking. I have to fill the time.
We got
to
fill time. No. Okay. We got a vamp.
I'll throw it back to you. I gift you my time, sir.
Yeah, you're more or less spot on correct.
Thanks.
Is what I'm saying, because I honestly kind of stopped listening to you. I was focusing on the clock. I'll assume you know, if Luke is talking about acid, he's probably
what the hell? wow, where is this coming from?
Because you're a very learned man. You know lots of things. That's sure. Also, saying that will wind you up.
Yeah.
It was discovered in 1938, as you well know.
I thought you said as you were, as like just as I was.
Luke was discovered in 1938, but they didn't put the plans in place until 1994.
They
put the plans in place the previous year, but they didn't come to fruition.
55 until... years later, they went, "Should we do that?" Then they went, "Yeah, go on, let's give it a shot."
LSD. It was synthesized, discovered in 1938. By a pharmaceutical company, essentially. They were working with ergot, is like a fungus that grows on rye. It can make people go crazy, apparently. We've done episodes on, I believe, ergot poisoning and episodes on LSD. It's a great story, actually, the first synthesization of LSD, because the guy who took it accidentally got high and went on a bike ride. We've got an episode about that. You should go and check it out. So, LSD for dogs. This dog had anxiety, as I've said many, many times. Now, we give dogs... do you know what we do for dogs with anxiety, given that your parents' dog has anxiety?
Not diagnosed anxiety, let me be clear. He's very young.
Oh,
he's not...
wow. Okay, stolen valor right there.
I mean, you spend 5 minutes with him, you'll diagnose him with anxiety.
Is it something that your parents are doing that just gives...
Their other dogs have always been absolutely fine and chill. This guy is just like...
About their human, though?
If I'm really honest, their
big human's got anxiety, doesn't it?
Me not got anxiety anymore. Me zap my brain. Me zap it away.
You're confused. You're very confused. I don't have anxiety. I literally had electricity zap my head.
Yeah,
it's all good now.
Come on, keep up.
I had some electroshock therapy and I'm all good.
I'm fine now. Woo! I had a lobotomy, Corey, and now it's okay.
It's really giving, like, I was gay. I was. But no. I did some conversion therapy and now I'm
all... right. Yeah, I'm really lying to myself here. I'm going, I'm not anxious at all. I'm not. I will say this quickly, but I do not want you to think, I think it applies to anybody who is a person with anxiety. I think that their dog's thick. Like, I think, and what I mean by that is that, like, as in, like, he literally... like you can have like a paper bag near him and he doesn't understand it and he's like, ah. So I mean, like, literally, I think he's like not very smart, and so he just has to assume everything might kill him because he hasn't got any idea what's going on.
Like a baby.
Like,
right?
Yeah,
like,
well,
a baby.
Yeah, but babies are useless enough, they can't do anything about it. This guy, like, jumps up in the air and knocks my baby over and, like, runs. He's just like, ah! He's like a, like, you know, like a baby deer when they don't really know how to walk and they sort of hop in all over the place and, like, ah! He's like that, but he's also a massive, muscly Labrador. So I really do think I'm not joking. I think he's thick, and I think the amount of thick that he is means that being anxious is just his default survival strategy. Because I don't understand anything that's going on ever, so I just have to assume and always be on edge.
How old is this dog?
Like a year, possibly.
Okay, so he's kind of puppyish still, then.
He's old enough to know better.
When he's old enough to drop acid, let me know and I'll get you a tab.
Okay, great. That. No, it has to be one PC.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
PC is over now. It's woke, first of all. And as you are well aware, this is an anti-woke podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're so right. By the way, hilarious that dogs, there's something in that dogs, like, are always, they just want a tab on their tongue.
They're fully made for it.
Literally,
like,
waiting for it.
Begging for it. So they gave this dog... 5 micrograms. Basically, it came in a pellet of 10 micrograms. They gave the dog 5 micrograms because she's 13 kilograms. And it was administered orally as well, wrapped up in a bit of ham, by the way. Look, this study, when I say read it, it's because it's amazing. It's a pilot study to see whether this is safe to do. But it is written, like, truly beautifully. Like, they have to write it was wrapped up in a bit of ham.
They have to write this kind of stuff in just in case ham one day turns out to have anti-anxiety effects. They have to specify the ham was there as well.
Yeah, what kind of ham? Where did you get the ham from?
Methodology. We got the dog to sit. We told dog was good boy. We said, "Do you want a treat, little good boy?" And then we gave him acid wrapped in ham.
That is sorry, I just realized that they gave the dog acid wrapped in a ham. Like, if you do that to a person, bad. But, like, how else are you going to get dogged to drop acid? No, so they snuck. Don't do this at home, by the way. If you're going to give acid to your dog, you need to get consent, okay? Whilst we are an anti-woke podcast, we don't believe in rights for anyone. The one right we do believe in is the right to consent.
For dogs.
Oh, for dogs exclusively. Yeah, sorry. There should be an asterisk on screen with that caveat right there. For dogs only. Yeah, so they gave this dog non-consensually approximately 0.38 micrograms per kilogram body weight, which I've not checked this out. I'm just reading from what they've said. Mm. So if they've lied, then that's their fault. Mm. But also, there's no reason to believe they've lied. So don't know why I brought that up. Basically, if you translate it to humans, that is apparently a dose of 30.7 micrograms for an 80 kilogram person, which is slightly exceeding the upper limit of a typical microdosing range, which is 5 to 25 micrograms.
Should I explain what microdosing is?
Well, if you know what microdosing is, Luke, by all means, go ahead.
This is like a big craze in Silicon Valley where people take like tiny doses of LSD, like an eighth of a normal amount. And basically they just kind of think it makes them productive. And it's an amount that's like low enough that it shouldn't have any hallucinogenic effects. It shouldn't actually, I think pharmacologically, actually have any effect at all. But subjectively, people seem to say that it does. I don't know mm-hmm. how much evidence there is, but they seem to think that it basically makes them, it sort of works as like an antidepressant slash sort of motivator, like stimulant, I guess, mm-hmm. kind of somewhere in between those two things. I have no idea if it is backed up scientifically, but that's what that is. That's taking a tiny amount of something that's supposed to be not having any effect.
I know someone that once tried to take a microdose, but because they weighed so little, it was kind of a little bit more, probably about the same as this. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not even joking. Now that I'm thinking about it, the effects on this person were approximately the same as the effects on the dog.
Their anxiety was cured.
And since then, they have been more chilled out.
Wow.
You know, in the years since. So I'm going to contact these scientists.
That's so funny. A second data point.
I mean, the species issue is... Yeah. those are specifics, right? That's getting too in the weeds. So we've gone over it. 13-year-old dog. I don't... and she weighed 13 kilograms. Aww. That's really cute.
Yeah. Wow, 13 Reasons Why. This is a great experiment.
13 Reasons Why was a truly phenomenal show insofar as it was like a teen show that teens should not watch.
Yes.
At all.
Great.
So melodramatic, and I'm so sad that it's over.
It's sort of
It did make me get an HIV test, though.
Oh.
I was like, I need to get a test for if I randomly die of AIDS like a character does in this show.
Yeah,
I'll be so cross with myself.
Did you watch that show, the show by Russell T. Davis about AIDS?
Oh no, I don't watch shows about AIDS. Oh. That surprised me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I should be clear. I'm not saying I don't watch shows about AIDS.
Exclusively, that's a rule you've made. That's your hard line. And then you were watching 13 Reasons Why and you were like, oh no, I've broken my rule.
They did not consensually show me AIDS. That's the issue. And it was AIDS, actually. You did die of AIDS. There's a difference between AIDS and HIV. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You got to figure that one out for yourself.
We've probably done an episode on it, haven't we?
Yeah. They first wanted to test how anxious the dog was. So how do you think they tested how anxious the dog was?
A 13-part questionnaire ranking symptoms from most days to very rarely or never.
You're joking, but also...
Is this like what they asked the pet? They asked the owners, like...
No, they asked the dog to... They had the buttons.
Oh, but because it was on acid, it could speak now. And so it was like, oh, every day! Every day of my life!
Crucially, they have to ask the dog the questions before giving it the acid. Oh. So use the buttons. You are correct.
Oh, so it pressed the button that said, every day! Every day! Mm-hmm. And then it said, press the button that said, rarely! Mm-hmm. Yeah, like mm-hmm. one of those Instagram mm-hmm. dogs, yeah.
Yeah, crucially, it did learn to speak after taking the acid.
Great, well, that's good news.
Although I will say that some of the researchers also did drop at the same time, so maybe the dog...
What? Oh my god, that's so...
Yeah, it was a joke.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Don't worry, I realized... As I acted shocked, like in the middle of acting shocked, I went, that's not true.
Yeah. We're getting there, though. We're working on it.
But it would have been fun. Methodology, get the dog to sit, say good boy, feed him acid wrapped in ham, feed all of us acid wrapped in ham. Mm-hmm. Step by,
for a double-blind study, we need to wrap acid in ham and some sugar pills in ham, and then we all take it and we don't know.
Russian roulette. Is it us or the dog that's high? Is the dog talking or are we just high?
Guys, okay, I'm speaking to the dog right now and she is saying it's all super chill.
And the rest of them are like, it's definitely her who took the acid. I wonder how much acid you have to take for like you to think a dog's talking to you. Like full on like, hello. That would be so freaky.
Luke, yeah. I've got for the next Sci Guys Do Drugs episode, we will test that hypothesis of yours. Not even a hypothesis. There's not even a hypothesis. We'll test that question of yours. How much acid do you need to take before you can talk to dogs?
Yes.
And we could probably get that published, right? It could probably win an Ig Nobel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes you laugh, then makes you think. Great. I think we'd win.
I think so. So they gave the dog a bit of acid, just a little bit more than a microdose. Before doing that, they had to assess the anxiety level of the dog. So they gave it a questionnaire. There's a scale specifically used for anxiety in dogs. They did not give the dog the questionnaire, obviously.
Uh-huh.
They gave the questionnaire to the owner. And interestingly, they also tested how anxious the owner was.
Oh,
because there are correlations between a people being anxious and a dog owned by the people being... Look, here's the thing, man. I'll say this. I'll come out and say it. I'm not a big fan of owning pets insofar as feels weird to say that, you know? Makes me feel uncomfortable personally. Mm. I don't like having a pet and being like, I own you. You wouldn't understand this, Luke, of course, because your people have never been owned.
Right. But
Yeah. But like historically speaking, the concept of owning another sort of person it makes me feel strange. And so my pets have always just been like bros that kind of live with me that I kind of have to look after.
You're free to go whenever you want.
Yeah, bro. You're free to go whenever you want, but also don't leave your cage. Because that's like bad. It was rats.
It was
a massive cage. Like, they had more space in their cage than we had in our rooms.
I don't own you, but you may not leave.
No, look, if you leave, you're going to have a terrible time and you don't know that, but you're my bro.
Here's a little tiny roast
that I've made you. I made them a little roast once. I made the rats a little rat-sized roast. I cut everything into
with LSD inside all of the little pieces of food.
Oh my god, those rats did not need drugs, I'll tell you that much. I mean, look, if LSD was guaranteed to chill them out, absolutely. But otherwise, nah man. No, but I'm just not a fan of like owning pets, except for fish, because fish, of course, are not people.
Of course, as we all know, and they don't have feelings.
No, well, how can they have? They're not people, right? Only people have feelings, which is why animals are people. Fish are not people.
Yeah, where's the line though? Like, is there a type fish. Of big fish? Like dolphin. That's not fish, but...
Dolphin isn't fish.
Looks like fish.
Okay,
is it people?
Well, I'm not racist. Just because it looks like fish.
Am I fish racist?
You are so racist, bro. That's so bad.
But only exclusively to fish and aquatic animals.
Oh, they all look the same.
They're all slimy.
Dude, you can't say that. That's their word.
That's a slur.
That's their word, bro. So, the trial began at 12:50. This is a direct quote.
Oh, sorry. I thought they put the dog on trial. That's how high they were.
First of all, they gave it acid.
You're accused of taking an illegal drug.
Making LSD.
In its body.
You caught it right up the start there, man. Yeah. This dog has been done for not just for possession, but for
production.
So the trial of the dog started. Okay, this is literally a direct quote. The trial began at 12:15 p.m. on January 10th, 2024, lasting for 5.5 hours. The dog was high for about 5.5 hours. I think it started to come up in the first couple hours and then slowly tapered off. So it was done at the dog's house.
Dog's house. Sorry, it just sounds so ridiculous.
Dogs can own property, bro. I don't know what's so funny.
Okay, no, sure. Yeah, sorry. My bad. I guess I'm dog racist as well.
Yeah, you're a bloody dog racist, bro. Fish
at least
racist,
I'm not people racist.
Racist.
I'm every other racist, but...
It's nice to see you branching out.
I'm just getting it all out. Racism. You know, getting it all out into the less controversial ones.
Yeah, the real reason for the hiatus was that Luke became a white supremacist for a bit and refused to
That's
be in
it.
He still refuses to be in the same room as me. So this is the workaround.
For the listener, we're recording remotely. They don't know that.
They can have an imagination, my guy. Okay. Let them, you know, let them be wistful. And I'm not a fan of the word whimsy being used all of a sudden now. I'm not a fan of people use. I think it's not whimsical for people who have seen the word whimsy being used on the internet. And then and those people to then start using the word whimsy. People will say I'm anti-whimsy, but dude, I love some wistfulness, right? I love a little bit of whimsy. I love a little bit of fantastical sort of vibes in my life, okay?
I love the idea that you have come across all this whimsy and wistful conversation online, but you haven't come across any of the stuff about P. Diddy.
Who? Oh, yeah. Puff Daddy.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry to dead name him.
Sorry, well, that's the issue. Yeah, well, first of all, stop being... I was gonna say P. Diddy racist, but that's just racist. That's just you rat back around. You're racist to his chosen identity,
yes,
as a rapper. Yeah. And whatever
it's a real
else
problem.
It is. No. Look, I've been very much embroiled in the P. Diddy case. No, hold on.
Well,
no.
You did say.
Look, okay, just because you I was P. there a couple times. It's like you go to an island a couple times, right?
And I gotta say, you looked awful slimy when you left his house.
We played the slug game, okay? And actually, I'm gonna sue Netflix for stealing my idea and changing it into Squid Game. That's
slug
just not
games.
Cool.
It's just everyone's just like all greasy and trying to get across the.
You greased yourself up and then you slug about and you gotta avoid the soul and it's great. It's fantastic. But Netflix, they got that guy in and he just messed it all up, man. Mm. Wasn't a single Korean person playing Slug Game when I did it.
And
you know?
Nobody was slimy. And it's called Squid Game as well. They're slimy.
They changed it. They change it all up so much because of woke.
Yeah.
It's you're because so of woke.
Preach, Corey.
So at 12:15 p.m. on January 10th, 2024, they gave a dog some acid wrapped in ham.
To recap.
Mm-hmm.
No. Just that's your recap. Yeah.
Okay. Now, having recapped... I'll now carry on. Oh God. Luke, do you hear that?
Oh God. It's coming.
Ding-a-ling-ling. Luke, do you hear that?
Oh God, my ears are bleeding. When will it end?
It will end right now. That dinging is gone because here comes the ad. What is this an ad for, Luke?
It's an ad for our Patreon, I think. Maybe we didn't discuss it before we started.
There's only one thing we're ever going to advertise other than our merch, which you should also get.
And our live shows occasionally.
Do you know what? Buy tickets for a live show and then we'll decide whether or not we're doing one. But we're not doing a live show. What we are doing is a Patreon. If you enjoy these episodes and you want more of them, there's more on Patreon. We finish recording and then we carry on talking. It's like we exist outside of the video that you see. It's crazy.
Yeah, what happens is basically we lie to you and say, that's it, that's the end. And then over on Patreon, we just go, that was a lie, guys. We're going to carry on. We're the lie guys here.
We're the lie guys, yeah.
The true lie guys are on the Patreon.
If you've got like a pound and a bit a week just burning a hole in your pocket, you're like, what do I do with this £1.25 every week? What you can do with that £1.25 every week is give it to us.
A little gift. Here you go,
you won't
guys.
Even notice it. You won't even notice it being gone. But we'll notice
it. Other than the hole in your pocket, which will no longer be burned.
Yeah, so if anything, we're doing you a favor by taking that hole out of your pocket.
You're
if you give
welcome.
Us, like, just over a pound a week, we can carry on making these videos and not starving to death. That's generally quite nice, don't you think, Luke?
Yes, my belly is so full thanks to all these little £1.25s.
He eats coins, okay? It's getting real bad, okay? They're going out of circulation, you and give I don't know how I'm going to feed him anymore.
You give them to me and I don't put them in my bank, I just eat them.
If you shake him, he rattles, okay? It's not healthy. We need the money to pay for a doctor to take the money out of him.
I haven't left a seat in weeks. I'm so heavy!
Patreon.com/SciGuys.
SciGuys. Patreon. At Patreon, right now.
So to recap, I was recapping. And in my recap, I recapped what, Luke?
Kneecap.
I don't have anything for that, man.
Okay.
I don't have nothing for that. Okay. You know, I'm sorry. I should keep up with the banter. I should yes and, but I'm going to have to no but.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. So do you want me to say something else?
No.
Oh, you want
no,
me to recap?
Let's just leave that in.
Okay. No, you can't do that.
No, hold on. I'll say something. Kneecap. I really have... I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
They fought the British government and they won. That was fun.
Yeah, they fought the British government. They won. They're Irish. That's all all I know about them.
Hooray!
But this dog, Luke, what do you know about this canine?
Boy be tripping.
You keep on saying boy.
Girl be tripping.
Very clear. Her name is Lola, and she is a girl. Please respect.
Lola,
we are anti-woke. But okay. Once again, Luke,
I'm not going to misgender the dog.
Just because we're anti-woke, it doesn't mean we don't respect dogs' gender. We respect consent for dogs. We respect dogs' gender identities. If you're a person, don't care.
Okay, so Lola be tripping. Lola be anxious but be tripping. They have done a questionnaire with the owners of Lola to find out how anxious she is. Then they've given her some drugs and they're going to try and find out how anxious she is afterwards, after her roughly 5 hours and a bit trip.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so there were about four people in the house, I think. So two members of the research team, a toxicologist and an ethologist, both vets.
Mm.
What's an ethologist?
Study of ethanol. Like they just study alcohol. Is it a really nice name for an alcoholic?
So that would be an ethnologist.
Ethnologist.
I mean, I don't
are
think
they alcoholics?
I mean, no, what? No. Okay. What? No. You're mixing things in here.
So are the alcoholics.
According to Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, ethology is a branch of zoology that studies the behavior of non-human animals.
That definitely needed another ology in there to be like a perfect Dr. Seuss type thing. Ethology is the study of non-ology, which is
the ology. Shouldn't it technically be Dr. Zeuss? You know, if we're speaking about the German pronunciation.
That's the guy who makes the lenses. He makes the lenses, and then you got Dr. Seuss. He makes the stories.
Never mind. Let's not talk about Dr. Seuss, because I've got some
Carl.
Things to say about him.
We love Carl. Don't love the lenses, actually. But they're fine.
I'm about to Google whether he is a Nazi or whether he was anti-Nazi. Oh, he was anti-Nazi.
Hooray! We love Carl! Yes, Carl!
So we do love Dr. Seuss. We love Dr. Seuss.
Oh, sorry. Were you talking about Dr. Seuss, not Carl Zeiss, the lens maker I was talking about?
So, okay, I'm gonna be so honest with you.
Who knows?
Okay, I'm glad we're hammering this out.
Yeah.
Although, I will say this. Not the time for it. We're doing a podcast episode about dog on acid, and we're somehow talking about what, someone who makes lenses?
Yeah. He died in 1888.
Maybe this is a blind spot for me.
Yeah.
Who the hell is this guy?
Carl Zeiss. Carl Zeiss lenses. These are like back in the day when there was like those fancy phones that Sony made, and they were like sexy phones. What were they called? Like Cybershot and Walkman phone and all that stuff.
Yes, I recall.
Okay, so that when they had the Cybershot, that was like marketed as like has a Carl Zeiss lens. Like it's in like camera world, it's like super like, oh, that's a really nice lens.
I was picturing lenses like he was an like optician. What's the person that does the lenses at an optician's called? I don't remember.
The eye guy.
Who cares?
Yeah,
he was an eye guy.
Yeah. He's an eye guy. I don't know. I mean, he may have had a start in making glasses because it's all glass, isn't it? Maybe he did. But they ended up making it's all glass at the end of the day, isn't it? What are you doing? You're either helping a camera see or you're helping a person see. What's the difference?
But, so many.
Yeah.
So
see, he was dead before Nazi time, but his company was a bit Nazi, unfortunately. So,
well, thank you for that detour into some guy that made lenses for cameras. And like, I would
in 1880,
dude. I really should not be digging into this, right? I should know, like, to just let it lie. But I picked my scabs as a kid, and this is the adult equivalent of that. Did you genuinely think that was someone that I would know and that everyone listening would know?
Yeah. I thought this was like a really obvious thing. Is this just my world? I just have a different world where, yeah.
I'm going to put myself out there, right? Because I am so, so willing to make myself look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Like an idiot in this one instance and never before or again afterwards, right?
Yeah.
This is the one time where I'm going to put myself out there, be vulnerable, and let myself look like a fool. I want people to tell us whether they have any clue who this guy is that Luke has mentioned without Googling it. If you knew immediately who he was talking about and you're like, oh my God, Corey, how can you not know about Carl Zeiss?
So I don't know about Jesus, Corey. Come on. What are you doing? Come on. Guys,
you made me feel insane.
You must have heard, like, when you've heard a camera or phone, like a camera phone, but like marketed with Carl Zeiss lenses. Woo.
Literally never. I only remember camera phones were... They were measured by how good they were. They were measured by the megapixels.
Yeah.
Until you stopped talking about how good the camera was.
Well, those megapixels mean nothing if you haven't got a Carl Zeiss lens, Corey.
Right. Good to know.
You can
all right,
thank Carl for your megapixels.
Dog. I'm ignoring you now. We're getting bad to the dog. They disguised half a pellet of LSD or 1 CP LSD in a piece of ham. So they had four people there. The owner, like a family member of the owner. So the dog knew those two. And then two vets. The toxicologist who sort of cut the pellet in half. It said the dosage was prepared by the veterinary toxicologist. As far as I'm aware, they cut the pellet in half.
It's so funny. You need someone to do it properly, but it's just like, chup.
No, like it could quite literally have been scalpel, or not even, they were just at a house, probably just chop it with a knife. And so the dog had consumed a meal approximately 90 minutes prior to the initiation of the treatment, according to the owner. So, you know, the dog didn't tell us that itself, of course. So it ate about 90 minutes before, which you don't necessarily want to do, right? Well, you don't want to be on an empty stomach, but you don't want to, you're only putting it down on something full. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're ever giving acid to your dog.
Slowing everything down.
Now, they also like sort of knew that the dog did not know these people that were examining the dog that were doing the sort of study. Mm. So they gave them, I think, about an hour or so to acclimatize to the people before the observers, before giving the dog the drugs. It was friendly the whole time, and they didn't want to do anything with the dog, like other than physically examine it, like just look at its eyes to see if they were dilated and stuff. They just wanted to observe. So this is just a pilot study, and a pilot study is the kind of thing that you do before, like it's the first kind of study that you do, super small scale, just to see if it's safe and if the concept works.
One singular dog.
It's as small a scale as you can get, a single dog in the house of the owner. And they said in
the study, can't give acid to half a dog.
Now that'd be messed up. But they give they say in the study that the owner was very altruistic in allowing them to do it.
I mean, the owner has an anxious dog. The owner wants the dog to not be anxious.
I want my dog to stop barking when I leave the house. I'm so altruistic. So they explored the stress triggers. What do you think the stress triggers of a separation anxiety dog is?
Oh, where's my owner? Maybe they stopped existing and I'll be alone forever.
Yeah, exactly. And so they also kept in touch with the dog, not with the dog, the owner of the dog for 7 days after the trial. But yeah, so they, I think the owner left the house maybe like twice, and the dog was anxious the first time. And when they came back, it was a lot more chill. It wasn't kind of like following them around when they went to cook in the kitchen, which would usually stress it out. It was just chilling out. I mean, like I can list off all of the things that sort of happened, but it's much easier for you probably just to watch the video of this if you're interested in the specifics, like the play-by-play, or even read the study, because it is like a page or so, and it's very, very readable. Like it's not full of like difficult language, I would say, really. But it didn't stop it from getting anxious the first time, sort of when they left, but it did seem to have some kind of noticeable effect on its behavior after that instance.
Sorry, just be clear, did they leave the dog whilst it was on acid?
Yeah, of course they did. Well, they didn't leave the dog. They just like went out
to a different room.
To be clear, Luke, dogs, you can trick a dog, right?
Yeah.
Quite easily.
Oh, all the time, yeah. Yeah. Especially my parents' dog.
You better not be tricking dogs all the time, Luke. You better not be tricking dogs all the time, Luke.
No?
Because you know... On this podcast.
You only care about the consent for dogs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry. I trick them all the time. I've been living a double life, Corey.
Podcast over. I just can't. I can't.
So they left the dog at, well, that seems mean that you leave a dog. One, it's already anxious. Two, you've got two weird scientists in the corner with clipboards just staring at it. Three,
he didn't care about the scientists.
He's on acid. Three, he's on acid, Corey. Forget you getting that bit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, misgendering the dog. Sorry. She's on acid. Lola's tripping balls. In the corner, there's two freaky perverts with clipboards going, what, are you still anxious? Are you still anxious? Are you anxious, little doggy?
The world you live in is insane.
That's the world Lola lives in. Tell me about it.
They're not perverts. They're just scientists. There's a very...
They're voyeurs,
Corey. Let me tell you what the distinction between a scientist and a pervert is.
Uh-huh.
A clipboard.
They're writing it down.
Exactly. Perverts don't have the hands free to use the clipboard. So they left the dog like momentarily. They did not leave the dog for long. They just left the house to see what would happen. Because what's the point of not making the... What's the point of not letting the dog get anxious when you're trying to test how this anti-anxiety stuff works?
Well, you know? I guess the point would be like if you don't actually need to do the sort of... That's essentially exposure therapy, right? So you got two variables here. One, you gave the dog acid. And two, you left it whilst it was on the acid. Whereas you might want to experiment like, does it just get better if you just give it some acid? And you just give it a nice chill time.
But how do you know if it's going to get better if you don't do the thing that makes it anxious.
Because you follow up like a week later to see if it's less anxious when you leave.
But they did that.
Yes, I know. But my point is that you've done two things. You've given it acid and you've left it whilst it's on acid.
But crucially, this isn't a case of like, does acid just make dogs less anxious in general?
Yeah.
It's very specifically, if this dog has separation anxiety, can we use acid to treat that separation anxiety? What you're suggesting right now is kind of like being like, what if we give the dog a painkiller and then we don't cause it pain?
No, because in humans, in the human studies on like for PTSD and that kind of thing, on like psychedelics, you just sort of do the trip and you just have, you sort of like listen to music and you might, there's a therapist there to talk to if you need to, but you don't like necessarily do loads of active therapy work on the trip. You might just have an insight in your own head, like, oh wow, look, I can change this thing about me. So maybe the dog's like, oh, the owner always comes back when they leave. Oh, maybe they'll come back next time they leave. And then they have that insight on the trip and then they change and they didn't need the exposure therapy. My point is that if you do this and you prove it works, you haven't proven that it wasn't just the trip that did it. You have to do another study to find out if you even had to leave. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying that like you have done two things.
Can you list the differences between between dogs and people in the context of therapy, for example?
Well, no, none of us can. We don't know. We can't ask.
Well, that's, I think, probably the biggest the biggest difference. So the reason that they didn't just do the normal human situation of giving someone acid and letting them sort of chill out and, you know, having a therapist there to guide them if need be, is that we tend not to do therapy for dogs like that.
No, but my point is that the acid studies or the psychedelic studies in humans don't do active therapy. The therapist is just there to stop you going off the deep end.
But
what you're
clear.
Describing of the dog is the opposite. You're actually actively...
No. Okay, so you're okay. You are taking just letting the dog live its normal life as exposure therapy, right? It's not exposure therapy. This isn't exposure therapy. If you're going to be giving the dog acid to chill it out, the dog is going to be left home alone at some point, right? Probably like at least once a day, right? If the person has a job. So this isn't exposure therapy in the sense of let's expose the dog to this and see and use that whilst it's on LSD. And then it's more just let's see how it reacts to this stimulus whilst it's on LSD. It's not another variable sort of that you're adding in insofar as, it's not a variable that you're adding in the way that you're suggesting it. It's like quite literally the purpose of the experiment.
Okay. I just think that's like, when you say like living its normal life whilst it's on acid, I guess my point is like, if I had a friend who I saw every day and, you know, sometimes I don't see that friend. I have my wife and my baby and my cat.
No, right? No, you cannot make a person and then say, that's my friend that I see every day.
What? Make a person? I didn't make my wife.
Who is the other person that you just mentioned?
Oh, baby and cat. But there's three people. I didn't make two of them. Anyway, my point is that like I see my wife every day. Sometimes she goes off to go somewhere else. But if I was tripping on acid and I was like, I don't want my wife to leave, you can't be like, well, it's just your normal day. Sorry, buddy. It's just no different. Because I'm on acid. And so it's like, well, maybe I want my wife to stay whilst I'm on acid. It's not the same thing. I just think this is a little bit mean.
Okay, well, I have the contact details of the scientist. And once again, I will send him to you so that you can
give
call
him a piece
up
of
and
my
tell
mind.
Them the problems, as you do every single time we do an episode. And this is why no one from the scientific community will ever interact with us.
Yeah, because I'm going to point out that they changed two variables in their study. And that their results are invalid.
No, so the
peer reviewed, peer denied.
You're not their peer.
You're right. I'm superior.
So, let me just run through the day of the dog, right? So I've got this graph.
The day of the dog. AD 55. Carry on.
So this dog, I have a graph showing what went on. Normal behavior. So it had about 12:30, 12:15, can't remember which one, looks about 12:15 on this graph. And then there was normal behavior for about an hour. So it hadn't kicked in yet. And then it was lying down and had a relaxed attitude from about 1:15 till about, let's say, 1:45. It had its first anxiety stimulus at, I think, probably about 1:45. So maybe about an hour and a half in, the owner sort of left for the first time. And then it drank water for a bit, after they came back. And then there was a relaxed attitude again. And then they had some musical stimulation. Then the second anxiety stimulus and the third anxiety stimulus. And then it ate for a little bit. Then some more anxiety stimuli. And then it was sort of end of the trial. But broadly, it was like, it seemed to work. It seemed to be more chilled. The behavior was different. And of course the behavior was different. The dog was on acid.
That sounds exactly like our trip in Amsterdam, to be fair.
Lots of anxiety stimuli. I mean, lots of them.
And have a little drink and then a little food.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I did not realize that this place called Mannequin Piss or whatever it was called with the little cherub pissing, that was a joke. I was like, man, I am seeing something here that nobody else, this joke that nobody else has got. And then I realized that it was a...
Oh, you thought you were hallucinating a little baby having a piss?
No, I thought that I was the only person... I thought it was a mistake that the place was called Mannequin Piss.
And
I was like, that's really funny. Oh. And then I saw the baby pissing and I was like, okay, everyone's... I guess everyone's in on this joke.
Okay.
It only really works if you've been to Amsterdam and you know this place.
This is a lot better than what I thought you were saying, was that you thought, oh my God, I'm so high, I'm hallucinating a pissing baby. That would be terrifying. And then you turn to someone and you go, where are we? And they go, we're in Mannequin Piss. And you go, ah, I'm tripping balls.
So crucially, by the way, the results of the study, it's not like the dog was then less anxious afterwards. To my knowledge, sort of normal behavior seemed to return after it was off the acid.
Oh.
But then, you know, you can't give a dog therapy. You can't, I mean, maybe you can retrain it sort of thing using the acid the way you'd retrain a person using acid, you know. And maybe we could talk about this on the Patreon, because we're kind of running out of time for this episode. But if you follow us over to the Patreon, we'll probably talk about how like drugs like this can be used, not just in dogs, but in humans. But it's really hard because they've all been made illegal. But obviously, they have to use like a pro-drug here.
Mm.
And that's not to say that we're pro-drug, you know. But they used a pro drug.
Professional drug.
Yes, like cocaine, you know.
Not an amateur drug.
Like ketamine. Yeah. All of the 14-year-olds who are watching this are like, what? What's that? That's the kind of study. It's quite interesting. It's a pilot study. There's not much we can take away from it other than it seemed to have some sort of like calming effects on the dog, which is positive. But obviously more studies are needed, as this was just a pilot study where they essentially... wrapped some LSD in a ham and gave it to a dog, but it's okay because they wrote it down afterwards.
Yeah.
And remember, kids, anything is science so long as you write it down.
This reminds me of those laws in America that were, I don't think they're the case now, but like where prostitution was illegal but pornography wasn't.
So people would just film
being with sex workers in order to get away with it, which is, I mean, that's a loophole. It works.
It's one hell of a loophole, I'll tell you that much. Dear me. And now the reverse is happening with Bonnie Blue, kind of. Do you know what I mean?
The only thing I've ever seen about Bonnie Blue is something about her having sex with like 1,000 men in a day, and then also that she now supports Reform UK. That's the only two things.
Literally all you need to know about Bonnie Blue.
Okay.
That's all you
need
to know.
Is it serious? Does she seriously support it? I thought it was like a press thing, like, because, you know, I saw the headline, so people, like, she's getting promoted for it. But does she actually just think, like, yeah, that's great?
It's the end of the episode, and I'll talk to you more about that over on Patreon.
Oh. So if you want to watch Cory tell me about a pornography actress, go over to the Patreon.
Is there anything else you want to say to everyone, Luke?
Well, it's too late, Luke,
because it's the end of the episode. You have to say it later on. You have to say it later. No. And that is all from us. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons and thank you for watching. You can subscribe for new episodes every Monday, or you can find our merch, Patreon, and everything else over at SciGuysPod.co.uk.
That's SciGuysPod.co.uk.
SciGuysPod.co.uk. You can follow me at NotCory everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCutforth everywhere.
And you can follow us both over on Patreon, where we're going to carry on talking about this and apparently Bonnie Blue. So come join us. Goodbye.
Bye.